produced by women about women, Powerful Women Let's Talk is a series of interviews with women who have helped shape our community and transform who we are and how we live.
Jeannie Englehart is recognized as an accomplished, dynamic individual with a proven track record of successful business leadership, public policy, and nonprofit management. Award-winning, a first female president of a 120-year local chamber, today she gives back through her consulting firm, ETC Consulting. And did you know she considers herself a new world chef? Welcome, Jeannie, to this edition of Powerful Women Let's Talk. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi.
What's cooking for lunch today?
Oh, not much today because I'm not home. I'm working.
I don't know. But, a new world chef. Yeah. That's what threw me.
Yeah, new world meaning that we just try lots of different things.
Nice. We'll get back to that. Congratulations on your success. And I'm going to say thus far, what's your secret to success?
Well, I don't know that I have a secret. I think one of the things that I have is I believe that I have a lot of integrity, and I'm very careful about, someone told me once, you know, it's okay to disagree, but it's not okay to be disagreeable. And so I try to use that, and that may be one of the secrets is that, you know, you can't make too many enemies in a town this size.
Yes. Again, an extensive resume with your mantle full of awards, but I want to go back to the day that you knew you had a talent for the business world.
Well, I think it was probably even back in high school, but as other, and I'll say other women, because it primarily was women, you know, they were far more interested in home ec and the cooking and the whatever, and I was fascinated by numbers. I loved to read a spreadsheet and a balance sheet and put something together that didn't make sense before, but does now, and teach people how to do that.
So the big picture, challenges, surprises, and thrills of a woman-owned business. What was the name of your business? And
the name of it was originally Englehart Training Center, which is where the ETC comes from. But eventually I merged with four other companies, and we formed a company called Productivity Point International, which was a franchise system. And by the time we sold it, it had 123 franchise locations that were all individually owned, but were Productivity Point.
Was there a surprise and or a thrill of that journey?
Oh, I think the biggest surprise was that I didn't anticipate that it would be so difficult as a woman. It was very immediate to me that I wasn't being treated the same as men. You know, what I had to do to go through, to jump through hoops to get a loan was much different than the male counterparts that I knew that had businesses. So I think the biggest surprise to me was women weren't treated equally then.
May I ask you what decade we're speaking of here?
The decade of the 80s.
What was the joy? What was the thrill? Because there had to have been many.
I think two stand out in particular. One was when I built the training center, 12,000-foot training center, which I never thought, you know, when I started my business, I always thought, well, I'd train a few people, but eventually everybody would know everything about computers, so it's just a short gig, you know. And by the time I sold it, which was 13 years, we were training over 50,000 people a year, and I had a staff of 52 people. And I think what I was most proud of was the fact that I contributed to society. These people had houses and cars and jobs and really gave back. So my little idea, which grew way beyond what I thought, I thought how nice it is to have created something that has supported the community.
And yet, if I may take half that step back, how'd you do it? How did you bypass the naysayer?
I mean, when people would say no to me, I didn't accept that. I have tenacity like nobody else that I know. And so if you tell me I can't do it, I'm going to work twice as hard to make sure it happens. So probably it was a good thing that at that time I was getting challenged so much, because it just made me that much more determined.
A first female president of a 120-year-old local chamber, the Grand Rapids Chamber of Commerce. What moved you to this role?
Well, after I sold my business, I went to work for Congressman Vern Ehlers as his community services director here locally. And Vern was the most wonderful mentor I could have ever had. And he taught me a lot about public policy, which the chamber does a lot with public policy. He also taught me a lot about how to be, as I say, disagree but not be disagreeable. And so this job opportunity came along, and I'd been with Vern like 6 years and no intention of leaving at all. And I was approached by the chamber to put my name in, you know, my hat in the ring. And lo and behold, it got down to two people, and I was just floored. So I was recruited, and I ended up getting the job.
What was your leadership skill? What worked?
Treating people equally. It's the care and feeding of volunteers. There's a chamber out there that can't live without its volunteers. So I think that's one of the things, was learning to work with volunteers, and I had learned that through Vern, because obviously with campaigns you have to do that. But it was also treating people. I didn't care if you were somebody who had, you know, millions of dollars, or if you were a new little business that was just starting up, picking. My favorite one was one that was, they called it like a poop scoop or something. They picked up dog poop. I mean, my God, who would have thought of that? You might have, because you have dogs.
But it
was just one of those, you know, things where, you know, I would take the time with them equally.
All right, let's bring in where you have, is it heliskied?
Heliskied.
You've been dropped from a helicopter at the top of a mountain in Canada and skied to the bottom. Now, you say obviously much younger and more flexible than you are. Tell me about that experience.
Oh, yes. That was back in the day. Yeah. I've always been an avid skier. I've skied my whole life. I skied on the ski team in high school, and at one point had the opportunity to do heliskiing, which is, you know, they just take you up in a helicopter, they land, just sort of hover above the top of the mountain, and you jump out and ski. Now, there's different skis, they're wider, and, you know, because of the snow and things, but it was something I always thought sounded good, like a lot of fun to do. On the other hand, I'm not an adventurous person, so maybe early 20s, and probably I don't think I had drank, but I should have.
We'll hold on that, that's for sure. All right, I mentioned the New World Chef, and maybe because you subscribe to every cooking magazine, you watch the Food Network daily, and you have recreated recipes to accommodate your own personal taste palates. How do you find time for that?
I love to cook with a recipe, but I don't like to follow it, you know, so I kind of use it as a guideline. And Jack helps me. I mean, he's my sous chef. He'll help me with the chopping and the cleanup. But we will look together at something and say, oh, that sounds really good, but oh, that's probably too spicy for us. Or, oh, I personally don't like cumin. And, you know, there's certain things I don't like curry. So a lot of things that have those spices, we've learned to find other substitutes. And so I think of that as being creative. It is my avocation. I love to cook.
Nice. You mentioned Congressman Ehlers as a role model. Is it important to find a role model?
Oh, extremely important. And I can't say that I had one when I was running my business. I had women I knew and I had people I knew, but I didn't. They weren't role models. I mean, women were very competitive. There were a lot of us out there that were looking to progress up the ladder in Grand Rapids. And so I had friends, but to say I had a mentor I could pick up and call, that really wasn't the case.
Do you see that competition in today's world?
You know, I can't say I'm close enough to all of the young women, but the ones that I do know, like a number of them that work for me at Productivity Point, are now in some pretty substantial jobs around the community. And when I see them and hear them talk, I realize that there is still that element. It's not anywhere near as fierce as it was in the 80s. But I think young women now are just, they're embracing their power. You know, they're not looking for permission. They're just doing it.
You have a passion for mental health, Jeannie. How important is it to get involved with our passions? And tell us about Be Nice and more.
Well, I do have a passion, and I've worked very hard on it. And it's not an easy subject for me to talk about. But when I left the chamber, when I retired, like many people who have been working 80 hours a week their whole life, all of a sudden I didn't know what I was going to do. And it really hit me harder than I thought it would. And my mental health really declined to the point that I attempted suicide. and somebody found me and it was okay and I'm here. So I take every opportunity to go out and to tell people that there's two ways to look at this. I mean, one is what Be Nice does, which is the upstream, preventing it. And they do such a great job, you know, with schools and all of their programs that are around the country. And so for me, that's the key. It's not dealing with somebody after, it's dealing with somebody before. And so when Christy Buck and I talked about Be Nice, and I've known her for a long time, she said, well, why don't you come and, you know, do some work with us? And it took me probably a year to say yes. I mean, I was still felt a little fragile and wasn't sure I was ready to be in that kind of a position. And I've only been doing it for, I don't know, a month now. So I can't say I've been doing it very long. But the reason I'm there is because, and this is the exciting part, is that they've always been known for what they do in schools. They're now rolling out a program for the business community. Mm-hmm. And there are some businesses already participating, but many of the rules that apply when you're in a school apply to business. You know, you want people to treat you with respect. You want people, you don't want bullying. You know, it all goes together. Mm-hmm. And businesses aren't as aware of it as they should be. And so what this program is hopefully going to do is offer businesses the opportunity to have that same kind of training and to allow them to be part of this bigger picture. And hopefully it'll trickle down, because each business will have a liaison that I work with. And that liaison will do programs once a month or lunch and learns or whatever. And so the idea is to really build it into the culture of the business.
Instead of asking, what's your advice to the 18-year-old? I'm going to ask you, what's your advice to the 65-year-old then that will look at her next chapter?
Find a passion before you retire. Figure out, you know, if you have a hobby or your whatever it is you're into, take that and use that to help yourself stay what I call safe and sound mentally and physically. Because if you don't, you're going to atrophy.
All right, back to the avocation of Jeannie Englehart. Eclectic art collector. Tell me about some hand-blown glass and some pottery.
Yeah, I've always had a passion for art, especially more modern kind of abstract art. But it started years ago with a huge glass hand-blown piece that we have hanging over our fireplace that we found at an art show. And from there, I don't know, it just started, you know, how things grow. I'm the ultimate collector. I have so many collections of things. That
a museum in the Englehart household?
We're getting ready to sell our house, so there's going to be a lot for sale. But then I got into pottery, and I have some potters that are from out west that I just love what they've done, and some two women that I know, two sisters that paint, and have some beautiful, beautiful paintings that they do, and they do all Indian women. So, you know, it just kind of grows. It's sort of like, I like that. I think, how much is it?
Favorite guilty pleasures, marshmallow peeps and Cheetos. Now we're really telling you.
You can tell by looking at me. No, it is, you know, it's like one of those things that I go, okay, so at the Stomp Out Stigma walk last week for Be Nice, I got the privilege of being the person to hand out food. Well, I've been sitting there with water and this huge box of snacks, which includes Cheetos, of course. I'm like, I cannot sit by that box with Cheetos in it all day long.
You know yourself.
I did.
You know yourself.
I did. I ate one.
And you're a New World chef, so you the sky's the limit for you on that. Jeannie, leave us with a personal mantra, please.
When I was in eighth grade, a French class, we were asked to find something that we felt passionate about, significant, whether it was a quote or whether it was a book or whatever. And in a book, I found what I now I even have it on bookmarks, and I give it out when I do speeches, and it's called Bag of Tools. And isn't it strange that princes and kings and clowns that caper in sawdust rings and common people like you and me are builders for eternity. Each is given a bag of tools, a shapeless mass, a book of rules. And each must make, ere life is flown, a stumbling block or a stepping stone.
Thank you, Jeannie Engelhardt. ETC Consulting, your firm. Thank you for your time.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. That does it for this edition of Powerful Women. Let's talk. I'm Shelley Irwin.
Produced by women about women, these powerful podcasts focus on powerful women and how their strength transforms who we are and how we live. Want to hear more Powerful Women Let's Talk? Get additional interviews at WGVU.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Please rate and subscribe. Powerful Women Let's Talk is produced by WGVU at the Meyer Public Broadcast Center at Grand Valley State University. The views and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of WGVU, its underwriters, or Grand Valley State University.